everybody, and welcome to episode 90 of the TBOD podcast. I am your humble host, with not nearly the most, the Quim Ninja, and the man, the legend, the guy who provides me backup and generally makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about, the wonderful Eremenko is here too.
I have most of it, but not all of it.
Yeah, as long as you've got most of it, mate, that's all that matters. You know, I'm sure the rest will show up in time.
In due time.
So today's episode, we are going to be discussing a number of things, actually. We've had a couple of events over the past week. We've had, firstly, the Game Awards. The TGAs have occurred. That show ran by Jeff Keighley. And we've also had the PlayStation Experience, the second annual PlayStation Experience, or PSX, as it's known to the PlayStation Nation.
It's a good time to be a gamer.
It is indeed. So we have decided to pick a few highlights from each show, and we're going to discuss them. First up, it is the TGAs. Starting off with that, we've both picked, I think, a highlight and maybe an honourable mention, certainly a highlight. I'm going to let you go first because my voice has been talking for a number of minutes now.
Thanks. I think it's worth. Is it the first time they've done like announcement at the Games Awards, or do they always do announcements as well?
They always do announcements, but the new format. So they've had a couple of off years where they had the kind of. This is only the second ever The Game Awards. Before that, it was the Spike TV Awards.
Right.
Which the last one of those was the one with Joe McHale, which, you know, didn't really go all that well in the eyes of the gaming community.
That's very true.
It was a little bit stunted, that one. But that one had pretty much... was just reveals and almost no awards. Like they said, it was all like a bit of a kind of mess of a production. And then the one before that was... all awards and not many reveals. And then last year's, they kind of split it 50-50, but the show was like 3 hours long. And this year it looks like Jeff's taken that on board and shortened the length of the show, but still got the reveals in there. Because, you know, at the end of the day, do you think gamers would actually show up to just watch the awards if there wasn't any of the reveals?
Well, that's a fair point. And I mean, any opportunity to bang in a shitload of marketing is always going to go down well, isn't it, really? So I think my highlight, and I mean, we've been discussing this before the show, trying to predict what each other's things are going to be so that we could try and stay clear of it. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is going to be what you thought it was going to be, but I think my highlight for the reveals at the TGA was probably Michonne.
Yeah, that was the one I thought you would pick.
See, I kind of thought that it was, but at the same time, there was the Uncharted thing. I was like, oh, is he going to pick that? Or anyway, yeah, Michonne. As has been very well documented over the past couple of years at TBOD, we're big fans of the Walking Dead Telltale games. They've been great. So much fun to play. And just to have a little something extra.
I'll just stop you there. I wouldn't say necessarily fun to play.
Yeah.
A fucking ordeal to play.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
You know... an impactful experience, I think, is certainly at least my line of thought with them.
Then creating this sort of intrigue and this sort of mixture of point and click and action adventure that they created, that enjoyable to play, albeit the content is a little bit harrowing at times. And to have something that is, you know, we'll tide us over until we eventually get season 3, and we'll tie into the show, which we're both fans of as well, I think would be exciting. And from watching the trailer, I don't know what you thought about it, but, you know, well, it's obviously going to be a like a prequel and an origins, almost an origin story for Michonne, which we've had a little bit of in the comics and a little bit of in the show, but, you know, we don't know exactly what she's been through to get to where she is now.
So, to give you a bit of background there, the actual, it tells her time away from the group between, I think she disappears in the comics from the group between, issues 126 and 139 or something.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually detailing that time that she's away.
So I don't think I've actually gotten that far in the comics. I think I'm going to issue 102 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm certainly not that far in, but apparently that's the case with it. So it's just basically telling this story of what happens when she goes
right,
off.
Because from what I saw in the trailer, she was wielding like some kind of machete, and I thought, you know, it was like before she'd gotten a sword or whatever. But obviously that's me misreading the situation.
But anyway, sorry, carry on.
No, I just think it'll be really interesting to have a game that focuses on one of the characters that we know so well from the show. Obviously, as he's saying, it's time away from the main group, so we probably won't get to see any of the other characters in the actual gameplay, but there might be sort of moments where she flashes back to things that have occurred in the show or the comic. I think that obviously the game world is set more in the comic book universe, whereas the show is taking a sort of divergent track.
Yeah.
At the moment, if you like. And, I think for someone who's such a beloved character in both iterations, it'll be interesting to see sort of which version of Michonne appears in this, whether it be more like the comic book version of her, which I think they probably will go down that path, but obviously they're going to try and cash in a little bit on the, you know, how loved she is in the show as well. Because I think she's a lot more humanized in the show than she ever has been in the comic book. She's a proper fucking ninja in the comic books, from what I remember.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree that they're probably going to stick to the comic roots, and certainly, they might take some elements from the show, but I think from the feel of it, you know, when you're kind of watching that trailer, to me, unlike the other two and a half, three games, there is always a sense of hopelessness, regardless of who you are playing as.
Yeah.
In the Walking Dead Telltale games so far, this one you could feel that kind of undercurrent of deadliness that Michonne has throughout when she's talking to herself. It, you know, given this kind of self narration, I don't know. It feels like she's going to be a lot less hopeless. We know she is from the comics, and I just got that sense from the trailer. From the kind of the way it was scored and the, as I say, the kind of narration, that you can feel that there's a bit more kind of impetus and a bit more oomph behind how her character's going to be.
Yeah, she's certainly
portrayed.
A lot more powerful than Lee
or Clem or any of the others that were at the rest stop. And
so, do you think that that's going to lead them down a path of creating a game that is a lot more action orientated?
So yeah, I was thinking a bit about that myself, that, you know, they may go down that route to kind of portray Michonne in the manner she is in the comics. And for me personally, I've never been that enamored by the actual action sequences in the Walking Dead Telltale games. I've never thought that they were all that well executed. I don't know if you agree with that at all.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's not so much the action scenes as the sort of tense moments that really drive it forward for me. You know, where if you're playing a QTE and it's not necessarily just about smashing zombies' heads in, it's like it's about trying to grab for something or, you know, get across a bridge in time, that kind of thing, where he's got to grab a hammer and stuff like that. And it's more about the weakness than being able to just like overpower a bunch of zombies in the Walking Dead games.
Yeah.
Definitely. I've not really played that many other Telltale games, but I did think that Wolf Among Us did it a lot better in terms of action.
Yeah,
there
that's
were a lot more
true.
Fight scenes in that one as well.
Yeah. We have seen an evolution there, and from what I've heard of Tales of the Borderlands, although I haven't yet played it, I think they're honing the kind of action sequences a bit more. So if they're going to take those learnings and apply them to this new game, which undoubtedly they will, then maybe they can come up with a kind of engaging manner in which to, you know, portray the action of Michonne.
I mean, I can see it being like really epic if you're sort of You know what I mean? There's a big crowd of zombies piling in for you, and each of the zombies is highlighted with a different button corresponding to your controller, you know? So you press A to slice the head of the one closest to you, or press B to slice the one off to your right, or use the analog stick to turn around, spin around and see if there's more behind you and stuff like that. And it's all driven by that time bar that they always use in the Telltale games. You know, you've got to make a decision before this bar gets to zero, otherwise you get munched. I think for any character, for them to be able to make action scenes that work, it's Michonne, you know, whether they use like a slowed time mechanic or something like that to make it all happen seamlessly and fluidly, and make you feel like a badass at the same time. I don't know for sure how they'll do it yet, but I feel like for them to make a Michonne game, it has to be full of slicing, like it just has to be.
Yeah, well that's it, and as I say, from the previous games with the characters that we've been presented, the real kind of impactful bits for me are those where they put you in the situation, and I'll try and keep it spoiler free, but you know, it happens quite early on in the first season where Lee's given the choice of saving this person or this person, and you know, you have to choose who lives or dies essentially, because they're both about to get crunched. It's those moments, and I just think,
well, she actually says that as in the trailer as well, doesn't she? Not everybody deserves to be.
Yeah, and so because Michonne has this different mentality, I guess, the previous characters we've seen in the games, I don't know if that will kind of telegraph into the actual gameplay itself where, you know, does she even care about saving anybody, you know?
Yeah.
If in the mind state she's in. And, yeah, it'd be interesting and dynamic to see how they kind of drive that forward, really. But yeah, I mean, I'm super looking forward to the Michonne game. Like, I'm really hankering after a new Walking Dead, because that, to me, that's still, you know, the best work that Telltale have done.
Yeah,
although, you know, Wolf Among Us is fucking amazing. As a piece of, you know, as a series, the Walking Dead stuff is just like, I think it just suits their style down to a T, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they've sort of, that's where they made the bulk of their fan base. There where they increased the bulk of their fan base, and I think if they can continue that way, it's going to be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I think for me as well, obviously, you know, I've not been too kind of captured by the Game of Thrones game, as I mentioned on the last cast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got Tales of the Borderlands under, you know, recommendation of people I kind of trust in the industry and how they've enjoyed it, despite the fact that, you know, they don't like Borderlands. And I was listening to another cast yesterday, someone who'd obviously picked it up as well, because the first episode is free to play, by the way.
Is it?
You can pick it up for free, yeah. And he said he'd played it, and he loved the fact, because this was another clincher for me as well, I definitely want to play this, because I own it, and I'm definitely going to play it this week, that they've actually scrapped the Borderlands humour, because everyone thinks the Borderlands humour is actually shit. And they've actually written something which is actually funny, rather than just being the fucking dumb slapstick humour that Borderlands is known for, that isn't, you know, particularly clever or good. I mean, I personally have never been, like, I've played Borderlands 2, and although it's mildly amusing, it's not really something that appeals to me. So, you know, that this other recommendation, the fact that it's nothing like Borderlands' humour, really kind of, really makes me want to play it. And I'm hoping that that game, I was hoping that that game would bring my favour for, bring the almost flawless record back. But if that doesn't, I fucking know Michonne will.
They're going back to the bread and butter.
So, do you want to hit?
Yeah, let's move on to your highlight. I think we've covered as much as we can cover out of the less than two minute trailer that we got from Michonne.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see how much we get out of this one, because obviously I knew you were going to pick Michonne, because I'd also put this down as like a highlight. I'm going to let you kind of guess where I'm going with this one.
I think I know, but why don't we just let you announce it, and I'll tell you whether I was right or not.
All right. Okay. So I'm also going Telltale.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought you would do.
Yeah, so I am super hyped for this one, because well, I might as well name it now because I'm not going to fucking talk about it. Nobody will know what I'm on about. But essentially, Telltale announced that they're making a Batman game. Holy shit. Like, this is something that, honestly, like, the Telltale... You can see it kind of building up from all of the games that we've loved previous. It's something that they can execute so well with this kind of franchise. You've got the kind of the darkness that you get in Walking Dead, as well as the kind of moral choices that, you know, that Batman has to make, you know, coming from that there too. And of course, he's the world's greatest detective. You know, that feeds in from Wolf Among Us, another epic episodic thing that the guys at Telltale did. Like, I think looking at it, a lot of their work has been training to do this game. Like, I just can't wait to see how they do this. Like, they, you know, that if they can bring the kind, I'm just really interested to see what kind of comic book style they do it in. And I really hope they kind of try and go down the more kind of noirish feel that
so not like the 90s Batman cartoons then.
Yeah, like I would well, I would like that too, but you know, some of the comics that drawn in more of a noirish way, I would really like them to, you know, go down that route. Because but regardless, I think that I'm super excited for this because, you know, you're actually going to have to do some detective work in it, and you get to explore kind of Bruce Wayne's psyche a bit. Like, yeah, I think it's just perfectly suited. I think this is a great partnership, and I can't wait to see what they come up with. I mean, what did you reckon of that little teaser?
Obviously, well, there wasn't much to see. There's not much to judge it on at the moment. It was just more of an announcement trailer than anything else.
It set a tone, didn't it? It had a tone, that little reveal.
And it felt like they were going to, you know, spend a lot of time being Bruce, which makes sense in terms of a Telltale game, because, you know, it's not, as we've just been discussing, exactly the same as we've just been discussing with Michonne, it's going to be difficult for them to go down that action path. You know, the Arkham games have done it so well, fighting as the Batman and stuff like that, that any kind of recreation of that style of gameplay would feel a bit stale in the Telltale engine, you feel? But you've hit the nail on the head in your little synopsis there, because the really important part of it is, I feel, is going to be the detective side of it. You know, using Batman's gadgets and trying to solve mysteries in the way that only Batman can, which should be really, really interesting. Unique bat belt accessories, like his anti carousel spray, various bits and pieces. But yeah, I think it will certainly be interesting, and I think that, you know, they will throw some new mechanics in there, you know, using the Batarang and the grappling hook and stuff like that to move between areas will really change the way a Telltale game works. So I wonder if we'll see some kind of new maneuverability controls and stuff like that, rather than it just being a straight up walk from here to here, click on this, make a decision, move on sort of thing. I think it'll be something new. It's you're right in saying that it's something that it feels like they've been training for, but I also feel like it's going to be something that they're really going to have to challenge themselves to create, if that makes sense.
I think it does. Like, I think the fans of Batman have a lot of high expectation of, you know, how that story can be executed. We've seen his kind of origin story like a fucking thousand times or whatever. And it looks like they're going to obviously... certainly, I reckon in the first episode, it's going to revolve a lot around that kind of origin of his parents.
Being
killed. Spoilers.
Bruce will remember that.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I'm just super interested to see how they do it. Like, I think they've got the chops to do it, and, you know, if they've got the... It would be nice to see how they... how they collaborate with Warner Brothers to execute and what style they go for. One feature I'd quite like to see them put in, which I thought would fit quite well with a Telltale game, is just as he is going to be using a lot of detective skills, I would like to see them implement when he's kind of interrogating his foes.
Oh, okay, he does a lot of that.
Yeah, and like using kind of the fear of the Batman image to get information out of people, and just the general kind of fear that the bad guys of Gotham City have for him. So you know, you might be kind of like you choosing to use the shadows, leap from one place to the other to spook them, or when you actually get up close to them, choosing what to say to get the answers you need, and
The wording. I can totally see it opening like that, you know, with a guy strung up by the legs on a lamppost or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all darkness around, apart from Batman's little face right in front of him, being like, "Where's the bodies?" Or, you know, whatever.
Holy whatever shit! Fucking hell, Bats is here. To me, the more I think about it, the more I would really love for them to do an interpretation of Tim Burton's Batman.
Well, it is the best one.
Yeah, it fucking is too. So that's what I'm excited from that. I think,
how excited we are about Telltale games, you know, they're taking over the world with their games. They're massive franchises like Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Batman, and Borderlands and stuff. You know, where can they possibly go next? Surely they've reached the highest echelon of creating games now with things like Batman. Like, what are they going to do? Make a Telltale Star Wars game? Oh my god, a Telltale Star Wars game, that would be amazing.
That'll totally happen. That totally will happen.
It's definitely in a Clone Wars cartoon style.
I tell you what they could do is fucking update their engine, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you'd think with all the money that they're raking in now, they might have started to create something new.
But the thing is, they do make their games, you know, as much as, you know, you can complain about the creaky engine, and I have done in the past, they are making it for every... common denominator. They're putting on 360, PS3, mobile devices, PS4, Xbox One, PC. So, you know, keeping it fairly lo-fi, their way of doing that.
It's working to their advantage in that respect. But I feel like we, as fans of them from the beginning, and fans of, you know, console and PC gaming, we deserve something. And you know, we can see that we're not going to get a new engine from a Shown because it looks exactly the same as the other Walking Dead games. So maybe Batman is the one that they'll have a new engine for.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I like that. By the way, just side note, put that last speech of yours and then quote by self-entitled gamer 2015. We deserve something better.
Yeah, we do. We deserve more. We've got everything at our fingertips. The world is literally at our fingertips. We deserve more.
On a more serious note, I would love to see them do a current gen only kind of game where, you know, the graphics are fucking, you know, cranked up.
Yeah.
Still, you know, the kind of stylized art. I'm not looking for hyper realistic, you know.
Well, they've made their name making stylized games, haven't they? They shouldn't really change that now. Even their Back to the Future game is like purely stylized.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know, I think they should just up the old graphics chops a little bit.
It would certainly be nice, and it would certainly be nice to... I know I haven't played the Game of Thrones game, so I can't comment on that, but it would also be nice to have things transition a little bit quicker. Like, I can't count the number of times I've, like, done something or, you know, asked a question, and it's been like, creak, 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 load, 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 before the response comes in, you know? And it just pulls you out of the experience a little bit, which is... You know, that might be saying something about the age of my hardware. So you never know. Maybe the PS4 versions of Walking Dead are snappier. I don't actually know.
I don't know if they will be, to be honest. I think it runs best on PC, to be honest. I think the console versions are usually worse, aren't they?
For the most part. I certainly found that with The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah. From the TGAs, it was all Telltale for us. I think I wanted to throw a quick honourable mention out to Shaq Fu, a legendary.
I was going to honourably mention Shaq Fu as well.
No way. Oh, man, did you watch the trailer?
I did.
It's fucking hilarious slightly racist.
Yeah, to two different races as well.
But
he's obviously got a good sense of humour about it, so, you know, not complaining.
Yeah. I'm sure he would have run that past, like, a Chinese embassy or something before he put it up there, too, since Shaq seems like the kind of guy who just goes wherever the fuck he wants.
That's true.
Yeah, that game looked insane.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the trailer for it. It just looks like one of those games that's just going to be a shitload of fun to play with a bunch of people. You know, I miss games like Streets of Rage, and that looks like it could be something a bit like that.
They should totally bring back Streets of Rage. Maybe we should start a Kickstarter. Maybe except we couldn't make
it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Even if someone did give us $500,000.
Well, we could, you know, hire someone who could.
That's true, but look how that worked out for the Yogscast.
That's also true.
Yeah. R.I.P. in peace, Yogscast MMO.
Bless it.
Alright.
Yeah, the other honourable mention, obviously, goes to the little tiny snippet of Uncharted 4 that we got. Nate Drake looking increasingly like Nathan Fillion in that little scene there.
Yeah, I watched that and I wasn't, like, other than graphically, like, I didn't really see... I thought that was just kind of released for release's sake, if you know what I mean. Like...
They just
know,
they took a clip from the game. They were like, oh, shit, we haven't got anything for VGA. Let's just take a clip from the game, just hoss it out.
Yeah. Jeff's asking for something. Well, we'll just give him that and we'll put a little montage together. I didn't... Yeah. But I suppose if we're moving on to PSX, they were probably saving the good stuff for there. So, yeah, PlayStation Experience was on the Saturday just gone, which is the 5th of December, and the TGAs was on the 3rd. Again, highlights, since that was a pretty much a segue, and I have pointed it out, I'll go first this time.
Do it.
My highlight, there's quite a few to be fair. I wanted to say Highwire Games' Golem. Golem, the new PlayStation VR game coming, which looked pretty fucking cool. I will talk about that in a bit more. I also wanted to say that I really enjoyed the kind of Eagle's Flight game that's coming from Ubisoft as well, which is also coming to PSVR. There was a load of stuff, but I was looking for something specifically, so I wouldn't say Uncharted 4. I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch that Uncharted 4 trailer. I'm just going to watch everything else because I'm trying to, you know, I've decided I'm not going to watch anything else Uncharted from now until release, but... I did end up watching the trailer, and I was like, yeah, this is the trailer of the show. It was just, and the reasons being, the fucking acting in these games, is dead on. In that trailer, it was dead on.
Well, it's your boy, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's it. Nolan and Troy, there's a reason that they're in every game, because they are fucking excellent.
There aren't many there.
I'm interested to hear what you think about the whole affair. I mean, what was it about that particular trailer that you liked?
Well, I just thought it looked beautiful for a start. And they always do. Naughty Dog games are always, whenever they come out, they always seem to be at the very, very top end of the graphical scale of the games of the time. And like you say, the voice acting is just second. And I mean, you've had a little bit of gripe with the cheesiness of the Uncharted in the past, but it definitely feels like it's going down more of a serious route. You know, they've learned lessons over the years, and they still have some of that corniness to it because that's how that kind of movie would work. But they also know how to make it gritty and how to make it work. And I think my favorite part of it was, you know, he's making the decisions. You can make decisions on what to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this. So you speak about that, and then we'll talk about the idea of branching dialogue in general.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it looked kind of minor, but the options that it gave you were to tell him about any one of the three games that have come before. Yeah. So it was like, start from the beginning sort of thing. He starts telling them about El Dorado, the golden man from the first game.
Yeah.
And obviously the other things are Sintamani Stone and I can't remember what the third game is now because I'm not up to it yet. Uncharted replay through. But it just that sort of nod to the fact that you're coming into these games, this game fresh, but you're also coming into this game with a history with Nate and the other characters in the game. And obviously, you know, there's a bit of a spoiler there for the likes of yourself who hasn't necessarily finished all of the games, but he's pointing to his wedding ring and talking about his wife and that. And
I could kind of know the story of Uncharted, to be fair. I'm not really playing it for the fucking story.
Because
it is just a fucking cheesy fucking
there are some
movie, isn't it?
Some branching parts that you might not expect to come for you as someone who hasn't played it so far, all the way through, but Yeah, there's, you know, that was obviously going to happen, I guess, from the very beginning. I'm interested to see. It raises questions as well. So you look at that conversation between them two, and it's like, yeah, it's my old brother and stuff. You know, what he's on talking about being in trouble. What's the trouble that he's in? How does Sully come into this? How does he feel about Nate's brother? Does he know Nate's brother? Has he had experiences with him in the past? He's known Nate since Nate was very young, as you'll find out in one of the games that you've yet to play.
In Uncharted 3, I have played the beginning.
Oh, have you? Okay, well,
so
yeah.
I've played this section.
So Sully's known Nate since he was a kid, basically. So he must know his brother from somewhere along. How's he going to feel about it? And is the brother going to turn out to be another hero, or is he going to be a villain himself? He's kind of got that look about him. It'd be interesting to see that flipped, because obviously in The Last of Us, Nolan North plays a villain and excuse me, Troy Baker's the hero. And will it flip? Will they be against each other? Will they be going against each other again? But yeah, it's super exciting. I mean, I love the while not necessarily giving us loads of information about gameplay, which I do know a little bit about though, because I touched briefly. So
I really want to play that. I've not had a chance to.
I had a quick go. I was never really a fan of the multiplayer in Uncharted. It plays solidly enough, but it the games have always been more about the story and the movement.
The hijinks, single-player hijinks.
Exactly. And it's a little bit reflected in there, but not as well as it... I mean, what made it your standout highlight for PSX?
So, I mean, like I say, I think it was the delivery of the lines was spot on, but... like you say, that I like the fact that they're going down a more kind of grounded presentation of it, you know, or certainly from what we've seen from this trailer, at least. I mean, obviously the previous one we'd seen at E3, where he's smashing the place up and getting shot by a tank and all that kind of stuff, was the typical kind of Uncharted stuff you expected, but cranked to 11. For me, it was just purely down to the kind of interaction between the two brothers. And it made me kind of... I mean, just briefly going to the branching dialogue, I've seen a bit of conversation around that about how people seem to think that might be a bit out of place for an Uncharted game. But
right.
I don't really think that it's... From certainly what they presented there, it's not like it's...
the morality scale.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change the outcome. Like, I think that selection there was literally, you choose your favorite. He was like, tell me the best bit.
Yeah.
So you're picking your favorite game.
Absolutely.
And obviously you could see whoever was there was a fence sitter and chose the first one, because he didn't choose 2 or 3, which is the debate of which one is the best.
Yeah. but yeah, you want to start from the beginning. That's what I felt. Just start where it's at the beginning. Work your way through the end. Let's tell him all of the stories.
Yeah. I mean, it was just the way... I mean, as you say, graphically, the way it was presented was unreal. Like, the character models look so great, but you can tell that Naughty Dog are still doing the kind of facial animations themselves, like they did with The Last of Us, and you know how they have artists hand-animate their facial expressions and their mouth moving and stuff. You could see that there. And it's obviously just inspired by how the actors are moving and stuff like that, and I just really liked it as a piece, like just the general kind of chemistry of the brothers. You mentioned Sully there is actually another trailer that came out, I think yesterday, where Sully is talking to the new character that was shown off in the Game Awards.
Oh, okay.
He looks a lot older, actually. He's fucking fully grey-haired now.
He's canny age all the time, Sully.
But I'm at two minds whether I'm actually going to watch that or not. Cause
don't want too much.
I don't want too much given away, yeah. But at the same time, I want to know that how they know each other, you know?
Yeah.
Because obviously she doesn't seem like the best of friends with Nate in that other trailer, so...
Well, she sounded English.
I think she's South African.
South African, okay.
Yeah. Also played by a white girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a bit of
controversy
news around this. Yeah, a bit of controversy around it, and Neil Druckmann basically came out and said, like, we're looking for the right person to play it, and we hadn't come up with the character model for Nadine yet before we cast. So we chose the voice of Nadine, you know, like, this is her, and then they went and worked on like the character model, and then we're presented with an African female, and we're like, yep, then that's what we want it to look like. But, you know, he said, just the same as we've got a white character voiced by a black man, you know, we feel like, you know, we choose the right person for the job regardless of their kind of ethnicity or gender, etc. So,
yeah,
I thought that was fairly well handled, really, because you know what the internet's like for trying to make absolutely. A man out.
Druckmann's a legend of PR, isn't he, as well? So
yeah,
he's managed to defuse that situation before it got out of hand, I suppose.
Yeah, he drew contrast, well, similarities rather, to The Last of Us, and said, you know, if we were going by that rule, Troy Baker looks nothing like Joel, so he couldn't have played Joel. And if, you know,
that's true. But in the stage thing that they did, A Night with The Last of Us or whatever it was called, he looked like him then. It was weird. Like, he's just, I think Troy Baker is just a really good actor. And I don't know, I just totally bought him as Joel, even appearance wise when I was watching that. Like,
yeah, he was saying he can't play him in the movie, and neither can Ashley Johnson play Ellie, but they did such a good job in the game, and that's what makes the medium great, which I, you know, I would wholeheartedly agree with at the end of the day. So yeah, that was my highlight from PSX. Oh, fucking hell, I totally forgot to mention, quickly skipping back to TGAs whilst we're talking about PlayStation. Greg Miller won trending personality of the year, beating out the likes of PewDiePie, Total Biscuit, Markiplier, and a couple of others. I fucking like Greg Miller, and I'm not a Greg Miller apologist either. He's actually a genuinely fucking decent bloke. He's calmed down a lot since he first appeared on our screens as the shouty man at IGN when he first died there. I think he's a decent bloke and a sincere bloke, and I'm glad he won it. And his speech around thanking the game developers on behalf of gamers, I thought was fucking a thoroughly well thought out move. And I'm quite happy to amplify that speech. If you go and Google that now, people, I think that's what he said was definitely worth saying, that, you know, personalities and people who, you know, talk about games on the internet have all this kind of recognition, yet the guys who actually make the games they're talking about don't get much. And so, you know, he took the moment to put the spotlight onto all game developers and, you know, thank them for making his life and all of our lives who are entertained by these people's possible, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a really nice sentiment. I haven't actually seen the speech myself, but
you should
well
watch
played,
it.
Greg.
It's good. I actually listen to everything that Kinda Funny make.
Really?
From all their podcasts, like they do like five or something. Plus, like, the Game Over Greggy show. Like, I fucking enjoy that shit. I'm getting into it more and more. I'm thinking about patronizing them. Because there's an extra episode I get for paying an extra buck a month or something.
If you absorb all their content already, you know, you want more. It's definitely worth doing it.
Yeah. Go check that out, people. Anyway, flipping back to PSX. What should I even need to ask?
Well,
your highlight.
I don't think there's going to be any surprises here for anybody who listens to this cast on a regular basis. My highlight was undoubtedly the gameplay from Final Fantasy.
What?
I know. Nobody was expecting that. It's totally out of left field.
Yeah, man. What a curveball.
I know. Absolutely.
So what was it then? I know. You know. Don't say everything. You can say everything, but specify everything.
Well, it was just the fact that I got to have a look at how it's going to play, or, you know, and the biggest factor is the way that it looks. Like, you know, we were treated to this announcement at E3 this year that they were going to be doing this remake, that it was coming first to PlayStation and stuff. So, you know, it made sense that PSX would have some of this at it. But I hadn't thought about it, you know. I didn't expect to see anything new really here. Maybe it's another little... The fact that they've actually gone, this is what the game's going to look like when you're playing it. And it looks like the trailer looked.
Final Fantasy 15 to me. It looks like it plays like Final Fantasy 15.
It does look like it plays a lot like Final Fantasy 15.
What are your thoughts on that? Obviously, it's a totally different battle system.
Yeah, well...
What do you reckon?
I've been talking about this to our friend Sean. And, you know, we had a little chat about whether or not the old-fashioned turn-based RPG battle system still has a place in modern gameplay. And it's it's a really difficult one, because if you released a game that played like that today, sure, it's going to appeal to the nostalgia in all of us, but is it going to be like frustrating? Is it too slow now for the way modern games are? Is it going to show off the technology to the extent that it can? These are all legitimate questions, and you kind of feel like it's going to really disappoint some people. Like my sister, for example, she was like, it's not turn-based. I'm sad about that. And yeah, I can see where she's coming from, because, you know, as a Final Fantasy VII purist, I expected it to be a little bit more like the original. But the way that they do it, the way that I've played a fair bit of Final Fantasy 15 episode Duskai, the little demo that came with Final Fantasy Type Zero, and I love the way that it plays. It plays really well, albeit you only control one character in that, whereas in this one it looks like you get to control all of them somehow in some way. But yeah, it's that old argument of relevance, isn't it? You know, if you made a game with turn-based battles like that, how exciting can it be? The thing that actually concerns me more than anything else with this is the fact that they announced the day after that it's going to be released in sections.
Yeah, so I was going to bring this up next. So they're going down the episodic something that Japanese developers seem to be taking on a little more from their Western counterparts, you know. Case in point, that latest kind of Resident Evil game
that you
were playing a while ago.
And it sort of worked better in Resident Evil, I think, than I feel like it's going to work here. I'm a little bit concerned about it. I mean, I live in hope that they're going to be able to do a great job of it. And what they're saying is that if they wanted to get all of the content in that they have ready to go, it would be too difficult for them to do that in one release.
Well, they said they'd have to cut stuff.
Yeah, in order to release it as one. But you know,
how fucking big is this game gonna be?
Exactly.
Though,
Final Fantasy VII itself was a 60-hour game. If you did it the easy way, you know, if you didn't mess around with any of the extras, it took 60 hours to play, and that was released on 3 discs. You know, back in the PS1 days. So why couldn't they just do it with that method now? I feel like if they're gonna release it on
a Blu-ray.
Absolutely.
Like, if you think that, you know, something like Witcher, for example, is like a Fallout. Fucking 200... It's like a 250-hour game.
These games are huge. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, you know, they're obviously going to add a lot of new... Hopefully going to add a lot of new content and stuff to it to make it... And they also said stuff like, you know, we couldn't release it at the level that it's going to be released at if we were to do it as one release. But, I don't know, it all feels a little bit weird and a little bit foreign to me, because the Final Fantasy games were very open back then, you know, with the world map and the exploration and going and finding new things. I feel like putting it out as separate segments, however many segments they decide to put it out as, is going to force it to be a lot more linear.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's fine if you just tell
them the
story.
Unless they have, like, the open world and have half the, you know, like, half of the game in, like, with the points to go to, but then it kind of limits your choices of where you're going to go.
Well, the way that they would always do it in the past, you know, would be the sort of Zelda style of doing things where you need a piece of equipment, need an item or a vehicle to get into certain areas of the map. So that would restrict you from moving into areas, or they would put really high-level monsters there that you couldn't beat until you were stronger and had the right equipment and weapons and stuff like that to get in the next area. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm not too concerned about the battle system. I'll be totally honest, because Square have done it before. Like, Kingdom Hearts battle system is excellent. Final Fantasy 15 battle system is excellent. Final Fantasy 12's battle system is excellent, and it is still going to be an ATB bar, the active time bar, in there, albeit for a slightly different reason than what was in the past. So there is still a turn-based element to it as such. And I'm sure they'll still have limit breaks and all of the stuff that we know and love from Final Fantasy VII. But it's this time, this episodic release thing that is... They've never used the word episodic. I don't think they've used the word segmented or, you know, releasing it in sections and stuff like that, which is, again, kind of fishy. So that's my biggest concern with it at the moment. But looking at it on the surface, it looks beautiful, it looks fun, and it, you know, it's got all of the sort of Final Fantasy characters, Final Fantasy VII characters that we know and love, and I can't wait to get my hands on it, even with those sort of doubts in the back of my mind, those niggles, as it were.
So, obviously you can't wait to get your hands on it. How long would you want to wait between episodes?
That's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, the old mantra, it's ready when it's ready. Personally, I'd rather it was already, it was ready. I've already bought Final Fantasy VII for the PS4, so I can play through that again in all of its PS4 glory, and just to show my support as well. But distance between episodes, it's difficult to say, because I never had really any gripes with the waiting length between episodes of The Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us.
So like 3 months?
Probably lost interest a little bit in a couple of them waiting, and ended up, certainly with Walking Dead Series 1 and The Wolf Among Us, I waited until I ended up playing like 2-3 episodes and then stopped playing them, and then played them all through again when everything came out, when the whole lot was out, and I could just play them concurrently, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't see me doing that with Final Fantasy VII. I think as soon as the content's there, I'll be playing it. But yeah, I don't think any more than 2-3 months. But then, it's a much bigger game, and with the sort of time limitations that I have now compared to Final Fantasy VII, it's probably going to take me a lot longer to get through each section than Wolf Among Us, and because they're only, hour, 2 hours.
Yeah, they're only 2 hours long. Like,
so, yeah.
The first section of this game will be more than one full series of Walking Dead, you know?
Hopefully 20, 30 hours, which I guess it releasing it in that format will kind of suit me. If they take 6 months in between each one, you know, with all the games that I've got to play now and other life responsibilities that I've got.
The games you've got to play now.
I've got to play. I've got to play Fallout.
That's
I'm
very
probably
going
to have to play Fallout for the rest of the year, to be honest. The rest of next year as well. So, I don't know. It worries me the direction they're taking with it, but, you know, I'm still going to buy it out, and I'm still super stoked. So.
No, fair play. I'm glad that you weren't too put off by some of the reveals there. I mean, from someone, an absolute outsider, like, I did like the kind of graphical style of it. I think my favourite bit of that trailer, because I did watch it just for your benefit, basically, just when he's, like, fucking kind of running along and his sword's glinting, I was just like, fucking hell, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. The sword's as much of a character in the game as Cloud is, you know, so.
Like, I don't know any of the story of Final Fantasy VII, or any of the Final Fantasies for that matter, but, like, is he like a fucking security guard or something? I didn't even realise it was... is it just a badass security guard, basically, that's just being kind of hired to fucking do... I didn't really understand what the crack was there. I don't expect you to go through the whole thing now, but...
Yeah, essentially, yes. I mean...
And is it set in a sci-fi world?
Yeah, a sort of... it's sort of steampunky, neo-futuristic world. Right. But, yeah, he's essentially... He used to be a security guard, a soldier for this organization called the Shinra Corporation. And he leaves them and escapes from them and gets hired by... I wonder how they'll handle that, because they call themselves like freedom fighters, but the Shinra Corporation calls them terrorists. And they are fighting against the evil corporation.
They'll probably just call themselves that.
The
like,
freedom fighters.
Japan. They don't fucking... You know what I mean?
Sugarcoat shit. So yeah, it'll be he's a security guard, and he gets hired by them because he's a pro and they want somebody with a bit of inside knowledge, but he's super badass as well. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking on that. I was just like, all right, because it gave me a bit of an insight. I was like, okay, that's quite cool. They probably definitely will call them freedom fighters and terrorists because they're not that bothered about political correctness over there. Case in point, dead or alive. You know what I mean? Like,
very true.
The latest Dead or Alive that's about to come out, they're censoring some of the female characters when it comes over the West because of the ridiculously overly sexualized character models that there are.
Boobs the game, as I like to call it.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that was my other highlight. Boobs the game.
Boobs the game.
All right, so I thought just to kind of close out the show, I would run through the Game Awards winners briefly, as we usually do every year, and, you know, just quickly see who won what.
Here at TBOD Records, we like to bring you the best quality content, you dig? The following segment didn't make the cut. Mm-hmm. It was ill-conceived and not at all planned. So here instead is Duke Silva's interpretation of the Super Mario World theme, all 5 minutes. Yeah.
See what you crown game of the year in our own game of the year show, which I think we're going to be combining in the Christmas special.
Or the most prestigious of all game awards,
the TBOD awards. Yeah,
that's right.
where only a few games get selected because one of us has only played a few games this year.
So Hearthstone but, across the board then?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, Hearthstone for fucking 2 years in a row. yeah, that's a good point, actually. I think this year, listeners, we're going to do a top three, and then maybe some... I know it's not very Christmassy, but the games that maybe didn't live up to our expectations as well. I've got one or two that I want to mention.
Our charcoal in the stocking.
Yeah, indeed. Our Satsuma up the bum. All right, with that, I think we're going to draw this show to a close. Go check us out, Teabag or Die, on Twitter. Or at Teabag or Die, rather. You can check us out at facebook.com/Teabag or Die or teabagordie.com. You can go to Google Plus there too. Teabag or Die or YouTube. You can just type in Teabag or Die there too. It's really easy to see where we're at. Yeah, stay tuned. Next week we'll have some other podcast malarkey going on. Yeah, I have been the Quim Ninja.
And I'm Aramenko as always.
Thank you for listening and good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and where am I?
Good day.
That'll do.